Thank you, Mrs. Glatz. Also a tremendous chus for me to be here and to see some of the payros of your hard work and the hard work of so many special staff members here in Mechlala. The goal of my talk today is to try to speak to you about what is the aspiration of keeping halacha. In other words, why is it and what is so important about keeping halacha? What is the end game of halacha? And then we're going to discuss why specifically halacha. What it is specifically about halacha that brings us to that end game. What is the end game? And how, we'll discuss briefly three different ways that halacha brings us to that end game. They tell a story about a warm municipality. The police department decided that instead of giving tickets to people who didn't follow the rules of driving, they would actually follow people and reward people that drove well. And sure enough, there was a cop that was following somebody for 10 minutes. He was following all the laws, so he pulled him over. And the plan was he'd give a cash rebate to Walmart for driving properly. So the cop pulls him over, and he writes the quote-unquote ticket. And he says to him, you should know that you're actually going to get your lucky day. So he begins to write the rebate for him. And he says, by the way, he's curious. The cop is curious. He said, what are you going to do with the rebate? So the fellow says, I think I'm going to sell it and buy myself a fake license. The cop says, what? So his wife is sitting next to him and she says, don't listen to him. He's drunk. Cop says, wait a second. Then there's a guy sitting in the back seat and he says, how could he be drunk if we just stole the car? So the cop says, everybody, pull over. The trunk pops open, and a kid comes out. And the kid says, have we crossed the border yet? The reason I say this joke as we start out is because sometimes when you begin a process of looking at something, it takes you to places that you didn't necessarily expect. The cop didn't expect that. I'm going to start from a place that you never would have thought of connects to halacha. For the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to develop how a sugya in Parshas Bereishis directly relates to halacha, what it says to us about what the goals of halacha are, and then discuss how halacha brings us to that goal. It relates to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, for the third time in Sefer Bereishis, one of the imos, it happens twice to Sarah, once to Rivka, is abducted. And the most detailed expression of the abductions of Avimelech, of one of the imos b'Yisrael, is described in Parshas Vayera. And there's a very strange interaction between Avimelech and Avraham. And Avimelech and God. God actually visits Avimelech. And he asks him, why did he take Sarah? And Avimelech reacts in very straightforward, righteous indignation. Avimelech says, what are you talking about? I was told that she was a single girl. I decided to date her. And the response that Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu give to Avimelech is strange. Avram says something that's really, at first glance, in no way a justification. Avram Avinu says, "Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'araguni al dvar ishti," that they're not religious. Ein yiras Elokim. Now that doesn't make any sense. If a person does something wrong to someone else and says, "The reason I wronged them is because that they're not religious," that's ridiculous. What's Avram Avinu's response? Question number one. Question number two is previously HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits Avimelech. And he says to Avimelech, why did he do this? And Avimelech responds in righteous indignation. He says, B'sam levavi uvenikyon kapaya sisi zais. I did this with a pure heart and with clean hands. Sounds fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I know. B'sam levavcha asisa zos. That you did it with a pure heart. Rashi points out, avonikyon kapai enkan. But clean hands there aren't over here. It was a pure heart, but there are no clean hands. Question number two is, what does it mean? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying back to Avimelech that he says, yes, you've done it with clean hands, with a pure heart, but not with clean hands? And question number three, this term of Avimelech, have you heard this before? Have you said it before? At a very, very holy time, we say it. When we put back the Sefer Torah to the Aron Kodesh, what do we say? Niki chapayim uvar levav, mi yalev ahar Hashem. Who's going to be zochet to experience the Beis HaMikdash? Those who have niki chapayim, they have clean hands, uvar levav. The same term that Avimelech said, but there's one difference. What's the one difference? The order. Avimelech had said, b'sam levavi uvenikyon kapayim. And David HaMelech says the exact, almost the exact same thing, but he says this in the inverted order. He says, Niki chapayim uvar levav. First he speaks about clean hands, and then he speaks about a pure heart. This Dvar Torah is very, very dear to me. It was the Rebbe that introduced me to the internal dynamic of how Talmud, how Gemara reaches Halacha, who said over this Dvar Torah all the time. In fact, it's in the Hakdamah of his Sefer. Rabbi Braunschweigel used to say over this Dvar Torah as he experienced it as a child survivor of the Holocaust. And he answered the first question. The question of how could Avram Avinu say, Rak en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh, based on the Malbim. And he said, he remembers as a child growing up. And you've heard this idea before, but I want to now extend it into ways you might not have never thought about. He said that when he was a child growing up in Poland, all of the world, not only the backwaters of Poland, but even in the United States, North America, and all cultured societies looked up at Germany in the 1910s, 1920s, as being the center of cultural achievement and ethical achievement. The first chair of ethics that appears in a university appears in Germany. And Avram Avinu is telling Avimelech that if your system of ethics comes from something that is man-made, that is artificial, and in fact, Ramban writes that Gror was the center of civilization at the time. By the way, notice, Paro, when he abducts Sarah, God doesn't visit him, there's no conversation. Paro doesn't justify himself really with Avram. They all know the score because Paro is Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim is full of hedonism. And there everybody knows what the score is. But Avimelech, he's righteous. Avimelech says, we would never do anything if she's a married woman. Comes along Avram Avinu and Avram Avinu says, but the key in terms of true ethical behavior is Rak and Yiras Elokim. If it comes along with Yiras Shemayim, then you could be assured that the mind is not going to bend it to its particular purposes or desires. B'chas v'chalila, if at the end of the day it starts without Yiras Shemayim, it starts with what seems right, then a race could come along and could justify and say it's the most superior of all races, and it is necessary to advance for the advancement of mankind, their ideologies, and the personifications of that race. Anything could be justified if it doesn't start with Yiras Shemayim. That was my Rebbe's lesson to us. He experienced it in a child when they looked up and idolized German society, and then in its fall. I'd like to take my Rebbe's idea and answer the other two questions as well. And we're going to get to a very, very profound place, B'siyata D'Shmaya. The other two questions we had asked was, why is it that David HaMelech says the exact same thing as Avimelech, but in the inverted order? And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you did it with a pure heart, but not with clean hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avimelech exactly my Rebbe's point in more specific terms. He's saying to Avimelech, you know what? Those two variables are critical. Those two variables of having clean hands and a pure heart are important. But you made one fundamental mistake. You put your intellect and your heart first as opposed to your action. Again, you put your intellect and your heart, your intellect first and your heart before you focused on your meisim, your halacha, the way you're supposed to go. Comes along David HaMelech, and David HaMelech teaches us, Avimelech is right, those are the two critical factors. Some levavcho v'nikyon kapai, but the order has to be inverted, and that's absolutely critical. What's absolutely critical is that first we work on our maisim, our halicha, our actions, what our hands do and what our hands don't do, what we eat and what we don't eat, what we see and what we don't see. Niki chapayim, and then uvar levav. Sometimes we have to train ourselves in a way in which our actions precede our intellect. And I want to tell you a powerful story that really exemplifies this idea. I was zocheh as a child to grow up amongst Holocaust survivors. You see, the Shoah has a big part in my life. And every morning, I would see men roll up their sleeves. I don't know if I'm a seminary, I'm more likely to start crying or less likely to start crying, being amongst a bunch of girls. I'm not that used to this. I used to see men every morning roll up their sleeves, and they would put tefillin on their numbers. One of those men was named Reb Anshel Tesler, and I grew particularly close to him. I was a regular teenager. Sometimes I came on time for davening. Sometimes I davened in the late minyan. By the time I would come for davening, usually, Reb Anshel Tesler had already learned the Daf Yomi. He had davened. I think at times he told me he had done the Daf Yomi twice by the time I had davened. And he was walking around with the tzedakah box, the pushka. He was to me a model. I think he was zocheh in his lifetime. I had the schus to speak at his levaya here in Yerushalayim. He was buried in Eretz Yisrael. His parents and all of his siblings were killed by the Nazis, al kiddush Hashem. And to me, he was, as I said, his levaya, he was the epitome of consistency in Avodas Hashem. That no matter come what may, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to challenge us with, I'm going to be there, I'm going to daven, I'm going to learn the daf, and then I'm going to collect tzedakah. And that was what his life was. He was an electrician by trade. Reb Anshel Tesler, I did not know, had a different experience right after the war. He told me many stories, but this story he didn't tell me. His grandson, Rabbi Yaakov Tesler, told me that after the war, he was really upset. He was really angry. He was hurt. He was alone. And there was one morning he couldn't bring himself to daven. He was so angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the same man who was the epitome of tefillah and Talmud Torah for me as a child. And he said he got up in the morning and he said, there's no way I'm putting on tefillin today. There's no way that I'm davening. So 9 o'clock in the morning, he went for a walk. 10 o'clock, he read the newspaper. And then he told his grandson, but what happened was, I started getting hungry. And I was raised by my holy mother that the first thing that you do, that a Jewish child does, before they do anything else, is they say Moda Ani and they wash Negel Vasser, and we don't sit down for a meal until we daven. And I was getting more and more hungry. I was angry. And I put on my tefillin. And I screamed out of anger to God. But I davened that morning, and I davened every morning afterwards. We can't trust always our emotions. Comes along David HaMelech, and David HaMelech says, Niki chapayim. We have to create what I would describe as holy instincts. One of the most important things that halacha does is it creates holy instincts in our side of ourselves. Because our emotions are complicated, and even our intellect is complicated. When we raise ourselves and raise our children with holy instincts, so then in such a case, we end up bringing our identity to a place where eventually, of course we need to question, of course we need to ask, of course we need to learn. But the first step in Yadus is always halacha, is first go. And then the next step is to learn and to understand. I bless every one of you that Mirtz Hashem, you're going to have beautiful families. And in the right time, you're going to wake up your little child in the morning. And some of you were raised with this, and some of you might not have been raised with this. But you're going to wake up the little child in the morning, and you're going to say, Sarah, David, Yanko, whatever it might be, you're going to say, let's go now to wash Negelwasser. Child has no idea what Negelwasser is. Do you know what's happening when a mother trains their child in the morning to wash Netilas Yadayim? There's a profound message that's being sent. And that profound message is not simply that we do something in the morning called washing our hands in a particular way with a kli. There's something so much more that's happening. And that is that the mother is sending the message to the young girl and young boy. And that is there's something called Tuma and Tahara. Now I'm 45 years old, more. And I still don't know exactly what Tuma and Tahara is. I'm beginning to understand it a little more and a little more and a little more. And that's even though people call and ask me sometimes questions about Tuma v'Tahara. Because Tuma v'Tahara is a very, very, very profound concept. The only way we could have that sensitivity to be able to grow, that when we're 60, we're 70, we'll have more and more appreciation of what those concepts are, is first if it starts with Niki Chapayim Uvar Levav. That's the deep meaning of the term that you've already heard from the Mesillas Yesharim for many, 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 many times, and that is Achre HaPulos Nimshachos HaLevavos, that the heart follows after the actions. It's not because it's a way of training something. It's not about training a child, but it's about creating a certain sensitivity. And then when the child gets a little older, they're going to, for the first time, be introduced to say their Taharos, which is the deepest and most complex of all of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. But it only starts if the mother and the father create those holy instincts. I want to give you another contemporary example that's not Lemaisa for you or me, from what I understand of what the standards here are in the school, but it's a very, very powerful example as well. I have a smartphone with a filter. Are you allowed to have smartphones? Yes. I encourage you to have a filter. I'm sure you've heard about this already before. I'm not going to repeat it. I was in a shul in a community where the young men and young women, maybe everybody, are not allowed to have smartphones. And a boy came over to me, about your age, a yeshiva boy, and he asked me in Hebrew, Efshar Sicha? Efshar Sicha means, can I borrow your phone? Literally means, can I speak? But that, he's not really interested in speaking with you. He's interested in using your phone. So I took out my phone. I said, sure. And he looked at my phone. I put in his hand. And I saw his hand began to tremble. And he said to me, with simplicity and purity, Ani lo yachol. And he gave it back to me. I'm not saying that that approach to technology is correct or incorrect. That's not our discussion at all today. But you know what we have to work on as B'nai and B'nos Torah? That there are certain things where our instincts say, Ani lo yechol. And that happens to be you and I know better than him why and why not he shouldn't use a smartphone. But there was something that he was trained by his parents to say, Ani lo yechol. Halacha tells us that there are certain things where a person says, Ani yechol, v'ani lo yechol. Halacha creates those holy instincts. We start in a very strange place, that give and take between Avimelech and Avram, Avimelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we ended up at a very, very important yesod. Avimelech's downfall, and the downfall of so many societies is they put the intellect first as opposed to the halicha. And halacha says, if you follow this, if you put yourself in the system, we guarantee, and time after time after time, we've seen, as I'm about to elaborate, that halacha is that system that is the derech towards appropriate hiskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my main message for you today. That's the goal of halacha. The goal of halacha is to create a system and a society where there's nekicha pa'im uvar le'evav. Now, of course, if it's not followed with great learning and great studying, then ultimately that system of halacha is going to fall apart. It reminds me of a story, unfortunate story. There was a Hasidish boy in Borough Park who, unfortunately for some people, halacha is just dry and it's rote. And they were never encouraged to reach that place, uvar le'evav. And unfortunately, he was going off the derech. And he went into a store. The story takes place about 10, 15 years ago. He went into a store and he asked the proprietor, he said, can I buy a television? Of course, in Borough Park, people don't have televisions. Or at least publicly, they don't have televisions. And the proprietor says, I can't sell it to you. You're a Hasidah Shebacher. So a few weeks later, unfortunately, by then his payas are off. He doesn't look so Hasidish anymore. And he goes into another store and he says, can I please buy a television? The fellow says, it's not appropriate for a Hasidish Bachar to sell you a television. Tov. But he doesn't really look very Hasidish, but the guy knows right away that he comes from a Hasidish family. Unfortunately, the third time he walks into a store, he's already not wearing a yarmulke. He doesn't look Jewish at all. And he says to the proprietor, can you sell me the television? The proprietor says, no, I can't sell it to a Hasidish Bachar. He says, how do you know that I'm Hasidish? He says, when you pointed to the microwave. The point is that Nekicha Payim alone doesn't work. Of course it has to follow Uvar Leva, but that's the ultimate system. You're going to raise your boy who's going to wash Netilas Yadayim, and then eventually he's going to learn that there's a concept of Taharos. And then he's going to advance in that system. And you're going to raise your daughter with that same Negelvasser. And then eventually she's going to have a sensitivity that there are certain places that she's going to want to be part of and certain places that she's not going to want to be part of. Because she knows, without even understanding all of the implications of it, that there's something called Tumah V'Tahara. That's the goal of halacha. But now we have to address, how is it that halacha particularly brings us to that place? The first part was the goal of halacha. But one could say that there are other things that could bring an individual closer to God. There are Near Eastern religions that focus on not just davening three times a day, but entirely devoted into spiritual thoughts 24/7. Why is it that halacha is focused on the details? Why is it that it has to start with this part of nekicha payim? Isn't there another mode? Isn't there another derech that could just as well create that God-centeredness? And I'd like to suggest three fundamental reasons about why particularly shmiras halacha as we know it through the Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch are the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, that our parents and our teachers gave to us, which captures in many ways the goal of what the system of halacha is about. Three explanations. First, I want to share with you, I would say the majority of your teachers here in Michlala are forever indebted and impacted by the Yeshiva of Elazhin. The Yeshiva of Elazhin was founded by Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was the primary disciple of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon's Hashkafa and the Vilna Gaon's Derech HaLimud was embodied in the Yeshiva of Elazhin. And almost every yeshiva and every Ashkenazic seminary today traces its roots, could find its roots directly to that yeshiva of Elazhin. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote the Hashkafa Sefer of the Olam HaYeshivas today. And that Sefer is called Nefesh HaChaim. In Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner describes the primacy of Talmud Torah, the centrality of Torah learning. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes a fascinating medrash. And with that medrash, he comes to fantastic conclusions. And I think in that message is something that's very, very relevant to us as we go into beginning to think a little bit more about the system of halacha. Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out that David HaMelech, who wrote the greatest bestseller in the history of mankind, there's no popular book more popular than Tehillim. You can't count the Bible, you can't count Torah, because Torah is Mipi Agvura. But something that was written by man, Tehillim, inspired by Kudsha Brichu for sure, is the most popular book of spirituality in the history of mankind throughout the world. And the Medrash says that when David HaMelech concluded writing his part of Tehillim, he turned Kaviyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this endeavor to be as important to you as if I had learned Taharos. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, wow! The ultimate expression of spirituality that is unparalleled in the history of mankind. David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said that in my neshama I needed to express it. But at the end of the day, all of my expression of longing and closeness to you and spirituality, and let's put it in contemporary terms, the feelings of closeness that we feel in a kumzitz, or we feel when saying Tehillim, is nothing when compared to learning Dvar Hashem. And that's why, in the yeshivas, of course, Rav Chaim Volozhiner goes on that spirituality, Musar, Tehillim are extremely important. But the primacy is understanding Dvar Hashem. And he says, learning is not about dveikus. Knowing halacha, living halacha, isn't necessarily an emotional expression of closeness with God. But rather, knowing halacha and living halacha is something else. And that, David HaMelech says, is greater. Why? If anything, I would have said the exact opposite. In our culture, we're taught the exact opposite. And that is the feelings of spirituality, the feelings of closeness to God, is the ultimate. Yet in our curriculum, knowledge of halacha, learning Torah, as Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, is the central part of our life. Tehillim is dveikus. And there's something above dveikus. Why? How? What? And if you read Nefesh HaChaim carefully, the answer is there. He quotes a Zohar. And the Zohar says, Yisrael v'oraisa v'kutcha b'richu chadu. Klal Yisrael Torah and God is one. The learning of Torah, writes Rav Chaim Volozhiner, is one in which we become one with the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keeping halacha is the way in which God's will is manifest in this world. Sometimes we understand it, and sometimes we don't. Like Avram said to Abimelech, sometimes we're going to understand it, sometimes we're not going to be able to understand it. And therefore, there are two ways that a person comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of them are absolutely necessary. One is the sense of closeness, the sense of communication, and that is tefillah and tehillim and all things that are ruchani. And then there's something else. And that is when an individual becomes one with the will of God. You and I were raised with the sense that the emotional connection is that ultimate closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me ask you the following question. I'm challenging you a little bit over here. You have two girls who are alumni of seminary. One of them keeps up a fantastic kesher with one of her teachers. They stay in touch. She's able to invite her to her wedding. Her teacher calls her after her first child is born. A fantastic, fantastic kesher. And then there's another girl who didn't keep in touch. Maybe she wasn't able to, or her teacher wasn't able to. But every one of her friends said that she became exactly all of the messages that teacher gave over. Who's closer? Which relationship is closer? Now, nowadays, yeshivas and seminaries, the way they recruit is they talk about kesher, keeping the kesher, and it's so, so, so important. But there's a deeper kesher than actually staying in touch and feeling close. And that is when we become the ratzon, in this case, when it comes to halacha, we become the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So absolutely, two parts of Avodas Hashem. You can't live without both of them. Just like there's Bein Adam L'Maklam, Bein Adam L'Chaveray, so too there's going to be two components, and those two components are going to be the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with closeness, with tefillah and tehillim. And then there's the other relationship of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And that's where we fuse ourselves as one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a tremendous zechus, in many ways more than your father and husbands will ever have. They learn about it in theory, and in your homes, and everywhere you go, you apply it, that Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in every part of your actions and every part of your life. That is also Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And that might be even higher than the Madrega of feeling that physical proximity towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or even that emotional proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's reason number one of why halacha is so important in Avodas Hashem. Number two, fidelity to halacha forces a commitment even when the relationship isn't convenient. I want to take these few minutes for you to be able to express in your heart Hakaras HaTov to your parents. Some of your parents might keep halacha as much as you taught in halacha class, and some might not. Some might more. But just think about it. I would say to the majority of the women here, their parents bought a house that they could have gotten something for the exact house for about half or third of the price if they had just moved to a place that was 10 miles away, 15 miles away, because you don't drive to shul on Shabbos. Think about it. It's an amazing thing. The Orthodox Jewish community followed a psak of halacha in the 1930s and the 1940s that was hotly contested at the time by Reform and conservative rabbis that said that, you know what, at the end of the day, halacha is important, but there's something that's greater. There's a convenience that's at play. It's more important for people to be able to go to shul than it is to keep every detail of Hilchos Shabbos. And you are from those lucky few in the 1940s and 1950s, your grandparents and your parents, There were many and many that said, you know what? When it comes to that, at the end of the day, Jewish continuity is more important. Fidelity to every nuance of halacha, yes, it's true. It's obvious that according to the consensus of all the poskim, that driving to shul on Shabbos is asar al-pi halacha. But, and then the justification comes. What hakaras hatov you have to have to your grandparents and your parents? There is a building in Yeshiva University that's named after a philanthropist who happens to be my wife's great-great uncle. I'm not going to say the name right now because of the continuation of the story. A lot of Torah has been learned in that building. My wife's great-great-grandfather did not have a lot of money. He kept Shabbos, and this philanthropist had a very, very successful business in the 1920s and 1930s, and he didn't keep Shabbos. At the end of his life, he gave almost all of his largesse away to Jewish communal causes, including a place that a lot of Torah has been learnt. But unfortunately, most of his descendants today are not Jewish. And my wife's great-grandfather, who was poor, and the children after weren't wealthy, every single one of those descendants are now Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Fidelity to halacha creates a sense of responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it's not easy. And that's why we keep the details of halacha, even though we don't understand them. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avimelech. And finally, the last reason of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu told us that these details are absolutely important. I'll never forget, it was such a culture shock for me that I was driving down the FDR after I made Aliyah about 15, 16 years ago, and I saw a strange advertisement, the advertisements that you're allowed to look at in Manhattan. My wife went back to, we used to live on the Upper West Side. My wife went back to Upper West Side. She said to me, Chaim, we couldn't live there. The billboards are now on the block that we lived on. But I was driving down, and these, you know, these massive billboards, five stories high, they're amazing. You have nothing like that in Israel. It's a fascinating country we come from. And this massive billboard, and there's a picture, of course it catches my eye, I can't not, it's so big. It's a picture of a bright yellow sports car, Nissan. And the title said, in big letters, be a saint, be a sinner, just be. Now, I'm not sure what that has to do with a bright yellow sports car, but that was the advertisement. Be a saint, be a sinner, just be. America and the entire world is full of relativism. And that is whatever you want to be, whatever you feel like being, that's what you could and should be. That is the greatest clash between Western society and the values of Torah. The values of Torah do believe that there's an absolute. There's a moral right and there's a moral wrong. And halacha is our expression of saying that there is a derech that's correct and there's a derech that's incorrect. And that's why every single word of Rashi, every single word of the Gemara, every single word of the Mishnah Berurah, it's so important. Because a life of halacha is not about a lifestyle suggestion. A life of halacha is a proclamation that there are absolute values that start from Moshe Mitzrayim. Now, of course, there are some values that are more important than others. Gilul Arayos, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah, one has to get killed. When it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos, one is supposed to violate Shabbos. There's a priority, there's a context. Of course, for those who distort halacha and those who suffer from anxiety and OCD, that's where the halacha becomes distorted. Because the halacha then becomes a part of an obsessive place and not part of this beautiful organizational system. And if I have to throw in, I feel responsible whenever talking on a day of halacha, that if you feel that your shmiras halacha comes from a place of anxiety, then that's something to discuss with your teachers and with your mora derech. But outside of that place of anxiety, from a healthy, emotional place. Shmiras halacha is our statement to ourselves and our statement to the world that there are values that are absolute. And yes, there's a value in which we eat in a way that we don't devour living beings. And that includes even bugs. And therefore, it might be tedious, and the rest of the world might not understand it. And sometimes there are people who are too machmer. I'll let the Rabbanim decide where to draw the line for you. But at the end of the day, this is a statement about that there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong. That's what Shmiras Halacha is also about. There's a beautiful story about this component of Torah. It's a famous, it's almost become a fairy tale, but I have some historical backdrop to that story. First of all, the first two times I heard this story, I heard it once from my Rebbe in 8th grade, Rav Lippa Geldworth, who heard the story from Rav Kirzner. Rav Kirzner was a very eloquent Rav in New York, who, when Rav Geldworth heard the story, he was already paralyzed to the point that there was no limbs on his body moved. And Rav Geldworth said that when he told the story, he got to the punchline, his face had tears coming down. A few years later, about 10 years later, I was sitting in my Rebbe Shira, Rabbi Branchville told the same story. And when he came to the punchline, he began to cry. And I realized that Jews from Europe, Jews from the time, this punchline of this story has something very, very powerful about what the essence of Avodas Hashem is. The story is about one of the great Gaonim in Europe, Rabbi Isaac Lecharef, who visited that yeshiva that we mentioned today, who visited the yeshiva of Elazhin. And he came with a very, very strong question. And he went into Beis Medrash and he asked the question. A few people tried to answer. Rabbi Isaac Lecharef didn't like it. It was a very, very strong kasha. He didn't like the Terutzim. He thought one didn't fit well in the words. He thought one wasn't logical. And then the Shmua, there was a rumor that Rabbi Isaac Lecharef is there because he's looking for a son-in-law. So some guys that tried even harder. It was a great girl, a great father-in-law, a great mother-in-law. And Rabbi Isaac Lecharef wasn't happy with any of the answers, and he left. And he was pulling out with his horse and buggy from the yeshiva. And there was someone who ran out. And Rav Geldworth told me from Rav Kirzner the name of this person. This, when you hear it over as a fairy tale, you don't hear the name of his. The name of the boy was Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. In fact, he became the Rav in Nevardik. And I saw a picture of him. The story, corroborate all the details of the story. And he came running out of the Beis Medrash. And he said, I have to say in Yiddish because that's how it was said first. He said, Rabbi Izala, Vergesst von der Schiddach, aber wie soll ich kennst dir gehen weg von Volozhin mit Akasha und Ateretz? Rav Eislav, forget about the Shidduch. But how could you leave Volozhin with Akasha without Ateretz? And of course, as the fairy tale goes, Rav Eislav said, you're the boy I'm looking for. The point of that story, the reason why my Rebbe cried, is because Torah and Halacha is an expression of an absolute search for truth. And that's what our entire lives are devoted to. Our entire lives are devoted, are a proclamation that there's an absolute emes in the world and there's something that's called Sheker. There's something, this is the pshat in the Gemara, and therefore that is how we're supposed to live. Rav Moshe Feinstein was approached by the Rabbeim, the young Rabbeim, in MTJ with a interesting request. The request was that in 5th and 6th grades, traditionally, the children learn from Seder Nezikin. In 5th grade, they learn Elu Metzios. Elu Metzios are the halachos of Hashavas Aveda. Those are esoteric, they're complicated. They're part of the most complicated corpus of halacha, choshen mishpat. And the Rabbeim suggested, Ramosha, let's switch to brachos. Let's switch to brachos. The kids could relate to it. Ramosha said, I'm against it for two reasons. The first reason is not relevant to our discussion today, but it's a very important chinuch message. Ramosha said that they're going to learn brachos, they're going to learn about zman kriyashman, zman tefillah, and they're fathers are not careful about Zman Kriya Shema and Zman Tefillah, and it's too early for the children to learn that what their parents are doing is wrong in fifth grade. That was reason number one. And reason number two, Rav Moshe said, the reason why we learn Eilu Metzias is because you think the most important part is teaching children what's Tefillah, what is Kriya Shema, what is Shemona Esrei. So that's not the most important part. Most important part is when the Rebbe is going to say, you have to return the item because we can't take something that belongs to somebody else. Fidelity to halacha is a statement that there are certain things that are right and there are certain things that are wrong. Now, of course, our shmiras halacha can't be simply knowing what is right and what is wrong. It's about internalizing why. So now we have three reasons. Of not only do we have the goal, we started off with the goal of halacha. The goal of halacha is to create those holy instincts of nekicha payim uvar levav. The question became, but why? Why is it that we do it particularly through the system of halacha? Why not focus on another system, another medium? And there are three answers to that question. Number one, the first answer we saw from the Nefesh HaChaim, and that is that spirituality creates proximity to God. But the ultimate expression of godliness is fusing ourselves with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talmud Torah and Halacha is that. That's number one. Number two, fidelity to Halacha is a way in which we assure ourselves that our commitment to Yahadus is not simply one that's based on a lifestyle choice. I want to elaborate on this a drop more, that second reason. You know, there are many, many people in North America today who are sending their children to Orthodox schools because their kids are less likely to get into drugs or their daughters, God forbid, get pregnant. That's not a reason. It's a fantastic gateway. But that's not the essence of what Orthodox Judaism is about, or more, I feel more comfortable, Halachic Judaism is about. Halachic Judaism is not about creating a healthy, productive lifestyle. I think some of us look at Halacha that way. They're a little bit of Eitz HaTovos. No. Fidelity to Halacha is about a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when the going gets tough. Even when it's not convenient for your lifestyle, just like your parents and your grandparents chose when they chose where to live and pay so much more for their homes. And number three, the last reason, is that halacha is a statement that we believe that there is an absolute value of emes, and that's expressed both in Talmud Torah and the messages of halacha. And those details become a proclamation of that. Your husbands, Emir Tzeshem, and your fathers spend a lot of time learning about it. But you are the ones that are going to be able to take those ideas and put them practically in your home. It's not enough for it to be idea. It has to be halacha. It has to be halicha. And that, Bezrat Hashem, is your tafkid. And I conclude with a tefillah that you and I be able to fulfill it properly, and to be able to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim.